and then start with our business. Once more, good morning, Ms. Kefa and Mr. Mr. Ngondo. You are welcome, and you are welcome. This is your parliament. It's not when we engage, it's not for our sake, it is for the sake of the city, it is for the sake of our own country. So, and let us congratulate you on your success as a city and as a destination of tourism. According to many of these things, journals, and according to many people, the city of Cape Town is one of the biggest tourism attractions, and we wish you well, and we wish you to grow. And we wish you an accelerated and an inclusive growth. We want to see black, white, women, men, youth, and the disabled slowly forming part of the city and part of our industry. It is a challenge not to you only, it is a challenge to the whole country. It is everyone's challenge. So when we talk about transformation, we are not talking to you as the city, but we are talking to us all as a nation. We are looking at your challenges. We know that there is a challenge with the Table Mountain and vagrants, and crime is everybody's business. We know every city in the world has crime, but we welcome the efforts so far. They seem to be yielding the desirable results that are likely to contribute to the growth of your city and to the growth of the country in general. So without much ado, over to you, Director Kefa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'd like to firstly take the opportunity of greeting the Portfolio Committee members and other attendees to the Portfolio Committee. I also want to take the opportunity of wishing South African women a happy International Day of Women, which is today. And I think that it is appropriate that the topic today is about tourism, and more particularly looking at ways in which we are able to empower communities so that we are able to live up to the promise of this government in terms of tourism being one of the sectors that has great potential to create jobs and opportunities. I'm made to understand that today's invitation stems from a visit to various tourism businesses and destinations within the city, particularly in the Metro Southeast. And today it's about contextualizing everything you saw and everything you heard, but also hopefully for us to be able to share with you our programs and what we do to grow tourism in this destination to the benefit not only of tourists, but more importantly to the citizens of the city, and then, as the chairperson also said, as the crown jewel of the tourism crown of this country, to benefit this country. I have with me Sisa Ngondo, who in our department is responsible for product development, and he also is able to speak to sort of the more pertinent operational issues as they pertain to the grant. And so, Chairperson, without further ado, I'll go into the presentation. Thank you. The mandate for tourism at local government level emanates from the Constitution. Local tourism is explicitly defined as a function for local government. And within that context, the National Department of Tourism, when it was called a DEET, developed the National White Paper on the Development and Promotion of Tourism, where they elaborated on institutional guidelines in terms of tourism. Technologically challenged, apologies. These are the categories of the functions that are to be delivered at a local level by local government in terms of tourism. Now, we've moved a long way since 1994 from a position where local government perceived their function with regard to tourism as providing the local tourism bureau in the main street that display brochures of where the B&Bs and restaurants and attractions were in the destination. There has since been an acknowledgement of the significance of local government participation at local level in terms of tourism. And this list of functions illustrates that. I also hasten to add not many municipalities are in a position to be able to honor this responsibility. And even with large metros, it's been a major challenge in terms of resourcing ourselves to be able to deliver on all these functions. What we did was we started out firstly by developing a tourism development framework for the city of Cape Town. And as part of that framework, we first looked at what is it that we wanted to achieve, and basically it was about positioning Cape Town as a world-class competitor and South Africa's premier tourism and events destination through maximizing the economic spin-offs and jobs created. That vision was underpinned by policy principles that were supported by identified tourism development goals. And with the hope that this would increase the attractiveness of our city to our tourists, whilst we were in a position or needed to ensure that local people are able to benefit through participation and not through handouts, and also to ensure that the destination itself is not harmed by the tourism industry or tourism feet, that people would leave their footprints and not damage the heritage. So by ensuring that our unique human, environmental, and heritage resources are used responsibly. And so this becomes sort of the ultimate picture at a high level in terms of how we do tourism, what drives us, and what it is we're wanting to achieve through tourism. So focusing on these goals and focus areas will enable us to achieve sustainable destination development. The policy principles that underpin our tourism development framework of sustainability, social equity, environmental integrity, economic empowerment, and cooperation and partnership. The white paper says that tourism needs to be government-led, it is private sector-driven, and it needs to be community-based. Now, the private sector is not going to ensure that it is community-based, and we argued that it therefore becomes government's responsibility to ensure that tourism is indeed community-based. We therefore defined what we meant when we said tourism development. And for us, tourism development is tourism that is sustainable, management and maintenance of tourism attraction and facilities through its infrastructure. It's also about expanding the range of products and services that are available to meet the needs of tourists. It's about building a tourism culture and awareness and the capacity of local businesses to benefit from opportunities offered through the tourism industry. And we chose, because of the limited resources, we chose to use or to focus on areas of greatest need, and in our instance, as throughout the country, to benefit disadvantaged communities. The tourism development goals around sustainability, we also are able to link it to the city's strategic goals, such as protecting and conserving resources for a sustainable future and supporting livelihoods. And we're beginning to see the effects and the benefits of this. In 2009, through a program we've been driving since the World Summit for Sustainable Development in 2002, where we hosted an international responsible tourism conference here in Cape Town as a parallel event of the World Summit. And at that conference, a declaration was entered into by participants that came from all over the world that were coming to the summit, and that declaration has become known as the Cape Town Declaration for Responsible Tourism, and it is also now become the definition for what responsible tourism is. So as far back as then, the issue around sustainability has been critical and key to our efforts of tourism development. But at the end of the day, it's about the product. People don't travel to be responsible or for sustainability. And therefore, we need to be able to balance the coin by linking the product to market, by meeting visitor requirements, and also ensuring that we provide a world-class product. We can't do this alone. And so we are forced to develop partnerships and work with all stakeholders. We speak very glibly about public-private participation, and we forget at times that in the communities, that is where the rubber hits the tarmac. People experiences are within the communities that they visit. Whether the community is the Winelands, whether the community is Constantia, whether the community is Khayelitsha, but that is where the rubber hits the tarmac. And that is a key stakeholder in terms of being able to deliver a world-class product. Investment facilitation. We can't do it alone. We need to be able to attract investment to grow our economy and commercial activity for sustainable growth and economic prosperity. And we need to invest in our people for the future. So these are the tourism development goals: investing in people, a world-class destination through quality services and standards, and marketing the destination and product development so that we ensure that Cape Town is marketed effectively as a unique, vibrant, and all-year-round destination. So those are the tourism development goals. And to be able to respond to the needs of our communities, to the needs of the destination, to the needs of the country, we also need to be cutting edge and be abreast with what is going on worldwide and benchmarking ourselves with other destinations, and therefore the need for ongoing research and information provision. the city was divided into eight, what we called eight tourism development areas. The Cape Flats and the Metro Southeast is one of those eight tourism development areas. And even then, when the framework and the research was done, we looked at the Cape Flats and the Metro Southeast, and that was 5 years ago, more than 5 years ago. It was adopted by council in 2004. It looked at each of those tourism development areas, and each area was then designed based on what the area, or projections were made, or forecasts were made, based on what that area led itself to. So if it was the Atlantic seaboard, and it lent itself to sea, sun, and sand as a destination, and a beach destination, it was benchmarked with other destinations, because there are many beautiful beaches in the world, and people don't have to go to a long-haul destination to be able to come to a beach. So we needed to look at what makes us competitive, what is out there, and what are people looking for. So in terms of the Cape Flats, the positioning emphasis was, what is it that is unique about this area? What are the stories that can be told in terms of this area? So issues around, for example, commemorating the struggle and celebrating the future. And it was about the struggles of the people of the Cape Flats, the Guguletu Seven, and many like that, the Trojan Horse experience along Belgravia, and so on. The issue around the people, and that is what we saw in 2010 during the World Cup, where the comings, more than its scenic beauty, Cape Town's scenic beauty, because people know about that, they've heard about Table Mountain, but the things that kept on Thames coming back and people marveling about was the people, and the gees, as it was called at the time, the people. And then also the issue about nature, which is, to a large extent, a big part of our tourism, offering our attractions and offerings are nature-based. And on the Cape Flats, we're seeing a lot of the indigenous fynbos, the wetlands, and therefore the potential of conservation and restoring those to its ecological magnificence, and then also through that being able to benefit from tourism. Issues that were identified at the time and that are very relevant still today were issues around safety and security, issues around supporting small business growth, and also investing in turning around or looking at how facilities were used and upgrading of those facilities. And the intention, therefore, was not only at the time when the buzz was around township tourism and visitors almost going on pilgrimage to go and see townships, but that townships needed to be destinations in their own right. That people must be going there not because it's a township, but there's something of interest that they are interested in, whether it's a niche product or a niche destination, but they're going there because they've heard of Lookout Hill and they want to go and see, or they've heard of the Luanja Migrant Labour Museum, they want to go and see that, or to go and see Vicky's B&B out in Sightsee. So it was about creating those destinations, because the romanticism around a township tour was going to fade. It was nothing to last forever. So to make the destination sustainable, we needed to create places that could stand their own right as a tourism destination. One of our successes was also about understanding that the tourism mandate is about the whole of government. It's not only about the tourism department. And so we've worked with our sister department successfully in ensuring that Cape Town is indeed a world-class destination. We've done lots of programs with the Environmental Resource Management Department and many others. and by leveraging the work of those departments to further the tourism cause and to ensure. And to give, for give an example, I spoke about beaches. Beaches are not a tourism mandate. We're not responsible for the maintenance of beaches. We're not responsible for ensuring that Cape Town's beaches retain or acquire the international blue flag status. But if our beaches that have a blue flag status lose that status, it becomes an issue because now we're no longer as competitive, or we would lose our international status in terms of the quality of the water or the cleanliness of the beaches. So we work closely with the departments that are responsible for those things. Likewise with safety and security, etc. Our sister department is economic and human development, and that is where the function sits in terms of local economic development. And because tourism is from the government's perspective, we're interested in it for economic growth and economic development purposes. It's one of the sectors, so we live within that fold of economic development. And that is where business support happens and skills development happens for businesses. And we work very closely with our colleagues in that department. But what is it that they do? They work in conjunction with many other role players in the field that work with business support, entrepreneurship, that work with various businesses at entry level, providing various skills. And so they play a guidance role, they play an advisory role. They also give input to other processes, be it within the city itself or also, you know, at other levels of government to in terms of the relevance. But they also have projects that they drive themselves in various events. The main partners are the provincial governments, enterprise development and BEE programs, CEDA, which are the various agencies that deal with businesses, and particularly emerging businesses that are part of the DTI family. There are institutions that the city also contributes towards the funding or contributes towards programs such as the Business Place. And with that entire family, we are hoping that we are able to sort of craft that tapestry that will ensure that there is growth, especially for small businesses. This is supported by various, by a policy framework. There's a business support policy, there's the economic and human development strategy, and also there's a new economic development strategy that has been updated. And key, I think, to some of the roles, apart from influencing the policy and regulatory environment, it's also about access to information, because that is at times one of the biggest challenges in terms of where people can get information, or challenges in terms of their growth, the lack of access to information, and various business development services and skills. There's also a program that assists people in terms of how to do business with the city. And there are various sort of flagship projects that have been run over the years, such as what we used to call Small Business Week, that has now become known as Cape Town Entrepreneurship Week, that focuses on promoting entrepreneurship. So that we move in terms of the percentages from where a bulk of small businesses are survivalists, not because it was their dream to become a business, but it's a fallback position because people have lost jobs and people have given up trying to find jobs. And so on a small scale, they are into business, selling little things, but to promote entrepreneurship so that we can see a growth in terms of small businesses that are able to create jobs. The various digital business centers, we've got two at the training center in Khayelitsha and in Mitchell's Plain, and they're currently evaluating various e-skills initiatives, because today everything now is going the e-way, and we need to make communities and especially the business people efficient in terms of understanding the various media. And so various outreach programs and events are held through the city annually. We've also got a voucher program, and also to try and assist businesses so that it's not only about somebody getting a voucher so that you can pay a consultant to put together a business plan for you, but also for people to start learning how to develop your business through their own business plan. Because until you can do that yourself, it becomes a challenge to grow your business and stick to what you've put in your business plan. One of the challenges, and I believe was mentioned during the visits, was the issue about doing business with the city and how laborious the process is, or challenging the process is, to land onto the city's supplier database. And so we've also implemented a supplier development program to assist people and make it easier for them to get onto the city's about to be compliant, and issues around making them understand, issues around them getting a clearance certificate from SARS, and all those things that are required for them to be able to do business with the city. And so the message I'm wanting to communicate at this level is to be able to say, as a department, we are committed to ensuring that we are able to see a growth of small players in terms of the tourism industry. At the moment, we're still seeing very much you've got mainstream tourism and it's business as usual, and then you've got SMEs and new entrepreneurs and new entrants in. And we're wanting to get more people, new people, playing in the mainstream of tourism. CISON is also able to talk about our initiatives around product development, more specifically addressing the challenges that are faced on the ground. Around project development. Let me hand over to Cisa, because he was on the tour, and then he can check us there.
Hey, good morning, Chair. Good morning, everybody. I think I will try to speak specifically on the programs and projects that we're having on the ground, because with what the director has presented, it highlights the framework and the manner in which the city does its business. What we will be talking about, or I will be emphasizing on, is some of the initiatives that we have embarked upon, which will allow us to highlight specific interventions, which I can safely say that are coming mostly from a bottom-up approach, and many of them have been done within a manner of consultation and interaction with the various products and the various tourism stakeholders on the ground. This is going to be done with an emphasis on product development specifically. And I think the director has indicated that the tourism department has got various legs in it, and our emphasis is to ensure that all that we're doing is done in an integrated manner. But focusing on product development, what we are also saying is that development of products from the City of Cape Town's point of view is to ensure that we emphasize on heritage and culture products. And that also speaks exactly to the areas where we found predominantly a lack within the development of tourism products. And with that, we are saying that we want to be able to forge a way ahead that speaks directly to the tourism development framework, which the director has also made reference to. And in it, we are not only talking about a pro development as one of the programs, but it's also interlinked with other programs, for instance, the community-based tourism and the business development, for which in our understanding as the city is that as we go out to ensure that our various products and the communities and tourism and stakeholders, we are able to interact and to undertake our programs in more systematic manner, where we are moving not only from a premise of assuming that everybody understands tourism, but we are taking people, the tourism stakeholders and products, from a position of awareness, where we are able to introduce tourism to them, those that are not fully aware about what opportunities exist within tourism, and we are able to take that process further by saying, amongst those that will be undertaking the awareness workshops, there will be others who have at least started a tourism business or who have a product in their minds. Then we'll be able to work together with them and see as to how we can be able to support that product or to be able to offer any intervention in that manner, with the intention that if there are any business development needs that can come from that, we can also, together with our partners that the director has mentioned earlier on, we can be able to see if we cannot offer the necessary intervention and support for that. And this, we believe that all of it together will certainly then help us to achieve what we have set out for ourselves as a vision for tourism for the city of Cape Town. We also must emphasize that all of this is done together with our other partners, which are, for instance, the Destination Marketing Organization, which have acronym as the DMOs, which is the Cape Town Tourism, Cape Town Tourism Limited, and other agencies like Tourism Enterprise Products, which is TEP, and many more, which are the SMME support, business support entities, the institutions like Red Doors, the Business Place, and so forth, all of which we have been working closely in this period that we have been as the tourism department. But to zoom in on the pro development programs, which I must just say, this is just a snapshot of what we are doing or what we have done as the city of Cape Town. But we just wanted to create a context to the visit that has been made on the 25th of January, so that we can be able to say that that is a good initiative, which I must thank you, Chair, for having undertaken, because that highlighted the need and the plight of the people on the ground and the products, but it also allowed us as the city also to evaluate as to how far we have gone in achieving what we have set out for ourselves, and also to see as to how we can be able to do better that we have done already. The reason for that is that some of the programs that we have undertaken, fortunately, were within those communities that you have visited. For an example, we have undertaken a Khayelitsha train tour project, which is going to be launched within this year, which has been done together with the stakeholders and products within Khayelitsha. And the intention for that was for us to see how can we utilize the current existing infrastructure and also our role players and our partners to put together a tourism product. This was a request which was coming from the products, and we have responded to that through this project. And I must also add that we have really been pleased with the participation of the products on the ground, and also the interaction and consultation we have had with them. It really has been much to be applauded. This does not only end with that, because as a city, we pride ourselves on nature-based tourism products, and therefore we have been asking ourselves and the tourism products as to how can we maximize the use of our natural resources, as the director also indicated earlier on, the likes of the beaches and the environment. And to that effect, a study was undertaken, which was to highlight the opportunities that can exist within the tourism, but with much emphasis on the False Bay coastline. The False Bay coastline, which is lying between Muizenberg and the Strand and Gonnes Bay on the other end. And the reason why we have decided to choose that piece of coastline is because in between Muizenberg and Strand lies two major communities, Khayelitsha and Mitchells Plain. And both those communities, many of us don't know, have got a beach or have got access to a coastline. However, very little is done, whether in terms of infrastructure or tourism, to allow those communities to benefit from the fact that they have a natural resource which can be turned into a tourism product and create the job opportunities and create the economic stimulus that they so desire in those areas. So the study has highlighted some opportunities that can be developed and some tourism products that can come as a result of this fact. And what we are now doing is to take the study forward and convert that into action plans and a program that's going to be rolled out. So I wish to say that that is still in the pipeline, and we have the study, and that will definitely be put into implementation. But we are also saying that in our local areas, we also find a number of opportunities, and many of these opportunities are facing us squarely in the face, and it's just a matter of us really taking them. In a community like Kualanga, where we went out to just to respond to what was already out there, the community of Langa were faced with a number of tour guides who were untrained. However, they were offering a walking tour. From our position was to see as to what are the gaps needed to turn this opportunity or turn this situation, which in itself was counterproductive in terms of tourism development, as an opportunity. We, together with the tour guides, the tourism products within Kualanga, we've been able to workshop all the stakeholders that were part of the project, and we eventually came up with a tourism product, which we have themed the Langa Walking Tour. As we speak, from that project, there were tour guides which were trained, a map has been developed. Actually, they had all this information with them. All we needed to do was to offer them the necessary support for them to be able to have this product. As we speak now, we have those tour guides, and they are delivering a selling service. And in fact, Google's cabin, which is where they are operating from, really has been able to indicate that that has helped them a lot, because now many of those tour guides are trained and they have their badges, and the tour operators are also happy with what they are, the service they are getting from there. I'm highlighting this because many of the issues that were raised were speaking to the non-intervention or the poor intervention of the city. However, I think many instances, some of the statements which were made were not really given with emphasis on fact. It was more to say that this is the issue, this is the issue. And I think what we're trying to do is to say that we have worked with many, and we are still open and willing to work many of the products within on the ground. What we are also saying is that we also want to continue to work and to prospect on new and niche products. We don't want to rest on our laurels, knowing that the city, as Chairperson, you have highlighted the accolades that the city has been able to accumulate to this far. But we want to also look at what other new opportunities are there. And I am happy to say that looking at the horizon for the city, the products, tourism products that are seemingly coming up internationally, and it's a trend that we as a city don't want to miss, is a demand for health tourism. Yes, they are already market leaders in this, but we're also seeing there's a gap for us as a city in that, and we want to ensure that we don't miss this opportunity. Together with that, we also have highlighted the issue of voluntary tourism, which we think that will create a sense of participation and belonging to many of our brothers and sisters, who many of them are looking for work opportunities. And through that, we're believing that they can also participate in tourism in that sense, as we are going to have a focus on the youth specifically. A study that we have also undertaken, which was on backpacking and youth tourism, that study also is going to be converted into, it has already got action plans, and we are now in the process of putting those, implementing those action plans. What we also wish to indicate that our involvement and our participation is indeed with all stakeholders on the ground. In the project that I've just highlighted, which I must add that those are just few of what we have done, we have engaged, for instance, with tourism products in Khayelitsha through Khayelitsha Business Forum, which is the entity that deals with all businesses within Khayelitsha. And in there, they have a tourism leg. So we have dealt with that. And we are also, through that, inviting their participation in the various tourism infrastructure and facilities we are having. For instance, Gugu's Tebe, Kwalanga, Lookout Hill in Khayelitsha, Lwandle Museum in Lwandle. So we are hoping that by our invitation, our participation, and our engagement with them in these various facilities, that we can be able to again open up an opportunity for interaction with them. Over and above that, we are also continuing to do similar presentations to our political principals, which are also many of them within the various wards and also within the various sub-councils. And that is another way of ensuring that whatever we are doing, our political principals are fully aware about it. What I have also done was just by way of reminding us some of the issues that were raised, and I have listed those, and they are within the copies that we have distributed. We will also leave this with you, Chair, which I'm sure the members can gain access to. And leaving this, I've highlighted these things deliberately because I want the members, honourable members, to also note that these issues that have been raised here, we also have taken note of them and we're fully aware of them. In fact, we're going to take them further and see as to where are the gaps and if there are any further interaction and interventions that are required from our side to take them further. On that, Chair, I wish to say thank you for the presentation and the opportunity granted to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ms. Kefa and Ms. Ngwando. Let us then straight away go to responses. Honorable Kumok.
Thanks, Chair. I think it's generally accepted across the country that Cape Town has been very successful in its tourism industry, and indeed the World Cup proved that Cape Town was, by a very, very considerable margin, the most popular city visited by the people from the rest of the world. So I don't think there's any doubt that we're on the right track. What I would have liked to have seen from this presentation is something that goes a little bit beyond the initiatives that have been pursued and some of the intentions that have been expressed, and to look at some hard numbers. When we went to Langa and Guguletu on our tour a couple of months ago, we heard from some of the tour operators and the stakeholders there that things were in fact a little bit tough for them. Coincidentally, and somewhat counterintuitively, on the same day, there was a very lengthy article, and I think it was the Cape Times, not the Argus, I think it was the Cape Times, saying how, in fact, the township operators and Cape Flats operators had completely recovered from the murder of that young Indian woman, Diwani, and things were as good as they've ever been. And what I would like the presenters to do, if they can't do it now, I really do think they need to present the committee, portfolio committee, with these figures, is maybe a sort of 5 or 10 year analysis in terms of what are the numbers of people that have been visiting Cape Town and its environs, what is the percentage increase every year, how does that compare to the rest of the country? In other words, is Cape Town outperforming South Africa or isn't it? Because then we have a basis to know whether, in fact, the things that have been put up on the slides do in fact translate into real economic activity. Then, in terms of their particular focus today, I mean, I don't think there's anybody in this room that doesn't want everyone in Cape Town to the greatest possible extent to benefit from any tourism growth. And so it is actually quite important to say, well, we know Table Mountain's doing well, and we know the established Atlantic seaboard is doing well, and the places that are portrayed in so many of these slides, surprisingly so, bearing in mind the nature of the contribution and the presentation. But what about indeed Langa and Guguletu and the Cape Flats? That southeast of the metro or UniCity area, it's been spoken that there's been 8 different tourist nodes, if I can call them that. How is each one doing? Are we in fact getting the same kind of growth in those areas, in the townships, as we are getting generally? Are there some of those 8 places that are lagging, and are there some that are advancing? Because I think we'd like, as a committee, to know that the benefits are being shared amongst all our people in Cape Town, and not just the people with perhaps the established routes, and it's very nice to look at the winelands and the whale watching and the boulders and the penguins, and I see them all there. But I mean, are we getting the same kind of growth? And I don't know the answer, and that's why I'm asking the question. Are we getting the same kind of growth and the same kind of interest in this Migrant Labour Museum, for example, and the other experiences that were mentioned? So I really, through you, Chair, would very, very sincerely want to see some figures in that regard, so we as a committee can form an opinion as to whether there is at least growth that encompasses all our people or not, and then we're in a better position to actually say, well, how do we as a committee engage with the city, and maybe if it's very successful, maybe roll it out in other cities. If it's not so successful, try and see how we can do to assist them.
Thank you very much. Mama Unjome.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. And thank you to the presenters for the presentation. Maybe I also have some wrong expectations. But when I look at the topic itself, supporting sustainable tourism for inclusive growth and development, inclusive. Yeah, I think from the presentation there's no doubt that the presenters have emphasized, for instance, the tourism growth in the Black Township, if you allow me to put it that way. But I would have wanted to hear how then, as a department, local government, you bring in the established business in tourism and the developing tourism business in the township. I don't see exactly how you are closing the gap. You see, because, I mean, as you know, and obviously from the list of the issues that you say here were raised, there have been this complaint that one side that is developed, that is established, is not really communicating with the other side that is still trying to find the fit in the business. I'm not getting how exactly we are going to do that, to bring these two together. I see towards the end, you are mentioning that one of the issues that was raised was an interventional policy to narrow the gap between the established and the growing programs. Are you telling me that you haven't started on that? Or are you still going to start on it? I wouldn't believe that you haven't started. And if you haven't, then it means that we are not yet there. Now, the other thing I just wanted to know, Chairperson, was in fact, I must say I agree with Mr. Krumbo, if I understand him well, about the question of what are the other
areas. You mentioned the Cape Flats, for instance. There may be others. But how are they also benefiting from your program, from the program that you are trying to develop the tourism products? You see, we appreciate, personally I appreciate the presentation and its emphasis on the Black Township. But I'm a bit disappointed that it seems as if that is the only area you are emphasizing. You are not telling us about tourism in the other parts of the city, which is what I think we wanted to know. You see, it doesn't mean that because there has been this outcry about the lack of development of tourism, say, in the Black Township. It doesn't mean that we don't want to hear what is happening in the other parts of the city, in the other areas. We do. And we want to see how you are feeling about that. Now, when we went to Kaili Chananga and so on, one of the things that I noticed, which I must say, it always depresses me, but it depressed me most. I think because I come from a typical rural area where we have lots of space around us, lots of fresh air and so on and so forth. I know it's not your problem. It's the problem of the Human Settlements Department. But I want to find out what impact, you know, this almost uncontrolled development of the squatter camps, you know. Yeah. What is the impact of those on tourism? Particularly that it occurs again in the townships, the very townships that we want to promote as far as tourism is concerned. I'm talking about what I saw Amajo Jombe, no longer just on a particular area, but actually on the pavement, that are on the pavement now. So what are we doing about that? Doesn't it have an impact, for instance, on tourism attraction? It might, in my opinion, it might frighten people away from our township if you are just allowed it to go on like that. I'm not saying you are the one to solve it, but there is a Department of Human Settlements. Are you in contact with them? Are you looking at this thing to see how we can solve them? And then, of course, certainly, Chairperson, the question of the budget. We can talk and talk and talk.
Excuse me, just 1 minute. For purposes of record,
let me stop there. Sir.
No, continue, ma'am. For purposes of record, I'm a judge on the sex.
Can I continue? Yeah. Okay, I'll make this the last point. The question of the budget. How is your budget for the tourism? You have a budget. You talk about the resources. At some point, you talk about the resources. How are your resources? Are they favorable to promote your ideas, your strategies, and so on? If not,
it's checks. it's not a Zulu word, it's a Xhosa word. The Zulu word is Mjondolo. Because I will be from my church. Mama Cass.
Thank you, Chairperson. The presentation is very good indeed. But I also want to comment in your font. We can't see that we can tell you. This thing is not going to help us at all when we leave us with this paper. It won't help us. We don't see a thing here. Please try to give us the better one. Uh, Your presentation was very nice.
Sorry.
Very good indeed. But really, my job, you have already explained some, uttered something that I wanted to say also. You know, when we visited this community, fortunately, since I was there, there was a cry. People that this tourism is not assisting them, the community very, the way they are expecting. Mm. So, also in terms of training, I heard that you trained the tour guides. Are you also assisting these people, having training for these people that are having these BNPs? Because I once visited a BNP where I could see that the house was nice, everything was nice, but you could see that the coordination of some things, it is just my house that I can just open a room and let somebody sleep. There's no proper coordination so that you can see that this is a proper BNP. You know, if you can at least also strengthen that side of training these BNPs. Also, the other thing that I want to say, what kind of assistance are you giving to some programs in terms of these small businesses? I once saw when I was in the city of Cape Town, we used to have in the foyer there many crafts and all those things. So that thing, who is facilitating that? Are you facilitating that, or those people are just invited to be there and display their things? So is there a coordination of some sort that can take that thing, can make it very big? Because those things were very nice, very well planned, but then who is coordinating that so that at the end of the day they can be exported? We can hear that Western Cape is exporting these crafts and all those things. Is there a facilitation of some sort that it can grow that far? Thank you.
Chairperson, it was good listening to the director and my son, who's the Caesar. Yeah. I remember I was one of those who did it somewhere in one of the commissions about a lack of assistance to the Cape Flats. A lot has been said, but my question is that could the director expand on B&Bs and restaurants in the Cape Flats? How do they function? How often do you visit the Cape Flats just to check on the running of those B&Bs and restaurants? I wonder, because I suspect maybe some of them you don't even know them. I'm just suspecting. I don't say you do not. But I have a strong feeling, you know, when I was listening to those men and women, the way they were furious about lack of, because when they say they don't get assistance, it means there is no communication between you and them as a community. I heard that there's something which is a good point, if I heard you well, that you are
wait for handouts. I don't know how do you handle that one. How do you conduct that one? Of course, we all know that tourism is a community-based but now I was listening to your presentation, Sisa, saying that there is a lot in the pipeline that will soon open up. I don't know whether you are just saying, you know, because hey, you say these things, you know, and so beautiful, so one listens and you get excited, you know, because now if there is a lot in the pipeline, one has a hope that one day when you visit Cape Flats you'll get a better story. At times, Jefferson, you know, I so wish, and it once happened, of course. Yeah. That at times, when you visit these communities, yeah, the officials must also be there. They must listen to them. I remember one day, we went to the Devon South. It was about air pollution. Yes, it was the officials and the community. I'm telling you, I've never seen the like of it. It was just God's grace that we managed to go out of that ward. There was chaos because they were telling them where to. Yes. Yeah, because really? You know? Yes, they do it. And I so wish one day we can do the same with Cape Flats, you know? Yeah. I think it can. Yeah, because they will talk for themselves as they did when we visited Cape Flats. But we have so much trust in you, nevertheless. So much trust in you, too, as you are sitting there. Whatever you have delivered. And we hope, and I know Isuga Kona Lapa, which there was a lot of, you know, morning cry that no, nothing is happening as Manjobe was saying. So let's hope next time I've had, you know, training of tour guides, you know, such things. We have been to, we visited Guga's Tebe the other day. Yes, fortunately, it's a nice, you could see that, this is a heritage, cultural, whatever. But you know, when we got there, I just want to tell you something for nothing. When they were to give us, you know, what was that? Some kind of lunch, was it lunch or what? You could see that, no, they were not trained, you know? They did some funny things. There was no training because that's where it starts, it begins. Yes. I remember when the chair complained. I just forget about what. We were just complaining. How Bantwana, they did not know how to just serve the few members of parliament. There were so many mistakes. Yeah. So you can go back and correct that. They will tell you what were those mistakes. But we went to the other corner. We saw beautiful cultural, you know, things that were carved, made by them. We even supported. That I want to congratulate you, really. Guga's Tebe, at least, told us something. Nothing. It was not as bad as we were listening to the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. I would just like to thank you both for the very good presentations. I was very impressed with the quality, and it's nice to see a presentation for a change where there's no spelling mistakes in it, because I get very irritated if we get a presentation and then there's words misspelled and grammatical errors and things like that. And thank you for the professional way in which you've done it. My interest is ecotourism. And I see here that you've made a mention of the fact that you work with two other departments, and that I'm also very, you know, I think it's very positive that you work together with environmental resource management and new economic and human development. And I see that there's a point, biodiversity and tourism projects. I would just like to know if you could expand a little bit on that. My husband is a butterfly collector. That's his hobby. A lepidopterist is the correct word for that. But on Table Mountain, and that's also why I want to ask the question about the ecotourism, there's more species of butterflies that you get on Table Mountain land than the whole of the United Kingdom. And that's not something that's some of the smaller things or smaller aspects of biodiversity that people are not aware of. We are very fortunate in South Africa to have the rich biodiversity that we do have, and especially so in Cape Town and in the Western Cape. And I would just like to know what are we doing about that, and also to promote that, if there's anything done to promote that type of things. Not only we don't only have the big five here, my husband always says, we also have the small 5,000 that we don't have in other areas. And then regarding safety and security in the issues in the Cape Flats and the Metro Southeast, my colleague, Mr. Kromberg, mentioned the Devani case, and you know, I know that tourism is if anyone said anything about tourism in South Africa, a lot of things are being, firstly, they say they complain about the crime as a reason why they don't come here. I would like to know what impact crime has, according to your department, on tourism and on Cape Town as a tourism destination, and yes. Basically, if you can see different differences in people's attitudes after the World Cup, and people have been came here to visit, and after it was so successful, whether you can see a different trend now. And I think that's also why my colleague asked about the statistics, whether you can in future give us a more statistical analysis of the trends that you currently experience. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to echo the appreciation of the presentation. At some stage, I was just wondering whether these flowery presentations have been are a replication of what is happening on the ground. But all the same, the presentation was good. Also, when CISA presented, now it occurred that it was a presentation that was prepared after our visit to the sites. But thank you all the same for that. Now, when you're conducting research, I would like to know what the outcomes of your research have been. What have you derived from those research interventions? What is it that you have come up with, and what have you done with it? Because it does appear as if whatever you are saying on the presentation does not resonate what occurs and what the other people, what the communities are saying, especially the deprived communities of this place. And I think it would help if one would really liaise, and maybe when you're doing these presentations, sometimes you involve, like Mamuzi Galala said, you involve the people and the service providers and the departments concerned, and then you actually gauge what exactly is going on the ground, because the research does not yes, it is research, but it does not resonate with what is going on the ground.
Now, the second thing is, what do you mean by assistance that you give to the deprived communities? Is it skills? Is it finance? Is it, you know, things like that? Because it is well and good to say you are training, let's say, a tour guide. But what happens thereafter? You are sitting there with a qualified, so-called qualified person in whatever skill, and this person doesn't know how to get around and or how to start. What kind of assistance do you give to those? Together with that, I will also quote Mamuzi Galala about the product that is being given to the tourists. What kind of quality? Is there evaluation? Do you ever go around to look at what pertains on the ground rather than, you know, sitting in nicely air-conditioned areas and you don't know what problems those people on the ground are going through? Also, how do you disseminate information to the communities, so that they all, at least the majority of them, do benefit from the information? Because others, yes, there are some of those who appear on your database, but there are those who don't even know that they should be recorded on the database. And those are some of the complaints that people always raise. That there is lack of dissemination of information. Also, this venting, all the time when we go on these tours, there's a lot of anger that is vented by the communities, and you begin to wonder what the officials are doing, because there is a lot of anger and bitterness and even name dropping. I went to so and so, he did this, and so and didn't do that. And do you do follow ups on those? Because there usually is a lot of anger that is displayed by the people. And also, when you are talking health tourism, have you ever considered the negative aspect of health tourism? Because it does have a lot of negative impacts on it. Like, for instance, you get people abusing and misusing that opportunity, that window of opportunity we are offering or we are opening for them. And you find that a lot of foreign people come and abuse our facilities. They come and plunder and do all kinds of things. We have read the papers all over, and we know that there has been quite a marked growth of health tourism, but it has got a negative impact on our communities and the GDP of our country, because it does impact negatively. Maybe later on we will expatiate on that. Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you very much. But before you respond, let me just remark, I think the issue of biodiversity is not appearing a lot when we advertise Cape Town. I've seen the papers and so forth, but I think I do not know, perhaps I have not seen everything on biodiversity. But there's also the issue of foods in Cape Town. Snookfish and fishes. The way it is prepared in Cape Town, it's the best fish destination I've experienced. I do not know with other people, but I do not see that being featured when we talk or when we advertise. The third feature, music. Abdullah Ibrahim, Mannenberg, those things. There is music that is characteristic of Cape Town. We could see those types of, you know, those people. I know that the big festival we have is okay. But I think there is a Cape Town sound that is not like the Durban sound or the Johannesburg sound or the Bloemfontein sound. And these are distinct senses. And then the appeal of senses to people. I'm not criticizing. I may not be having all the information, but this is what I've asked myself. But I have never gone to different areas. I've never gone to Manenberg for lunch, to a restaurant, or Mitchell's Plain. So and then we may be having these places. I know there's a good fish place in Hoopai, and there are other fish places as well, besides the Ocean Basket. I mean now the other real fish places, which are not franchised. Then, but my question is around alignment. How are we aligned, province, city, and national? Are you satisfied? What should be improved in that type of alignment? The Auditor General has commented that we have poor alignment, and we could have better efficiencies if we could align the three spheres of government. The other area, when we went to Khayelitsha, there was this, I think it is because of business to a lack of business-to-business communication. There was this, it came from both the places, from two places, that people make a booking to have a Khayelitsha experience. And when they come to a hotel inside Cape Town, they get discouraged. People say, hey, there's crime there, there's this thing there, there's that thing there, there's that thing there. I'm not there to judge, but I'm saying it looks like it is from lack of communication. And then it may be from genuine concerns. Well, either from receptionists or people they talk to, or perhaps the other businesses are trying to protect tourism and therefore their businesses and saying that, no, do not go to this place or that other place because of crime or you may be harmed or whatever. But to one of the remedies to that could be just to have communication between the stakeholders, the businesses, and manage that type of thing. I would like to have your comment there. I saw Honorable Terrell Branch wanted to quip and make it a quip.
Yeah, I would make it a quip. I think I would just like to maybe just ask a question about the health tourism. I think whether the previous speaker referred to the fact that we have organ harvesting, because I don't think the two must be organ harvesting is something completely different than, because I just quickly did a search on the website and it actually says there would be a World Health Tourism Congress in Africa for the first time in Durban, and it says here it's the most established and longest running health and medical tourism event in the world, and it would be the first time in Africa, in Durban. So I think we must just be very careful to say, to talk about negative things when people are flocking here for specific reasons. I mean, our prices are not the most competitive in the world, but as a tourism destination, people view that because of our climate and things like that, it's positive. It's a positive experience for them to come here. So I'm very much interested actually in asking what the negative things about that for my own, because I would like to know, because I have for one not heard about it, so I'm very interested to hear about it. Now I just wanted to clarify whether it's a confusion with the illegal trade, in because sometimes that also happens, foreigners coming here selling things, kidneys or whatever, for money, and I mean that's illegal, we all know that, whether there's a confusion about that. Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, I'm not sure. Person, I butted before you could give me the opportunity. I don't want to create a sort of a dialogue. I'm not confusing organ plundering and organ smuggling with tourism industry. Thank you very much. If she wants information, she can come to me. I will give it to her.
Okay. Now, this is the city of Crispanat, the first heart transplant that we have. The world, pardon? Yes, indeed. So, but I'm surprised that it is held in Devon. But this is the city, the first city where a heart was taken from one person and given to another. And
Jefferson, just to butt in, it is very unfortunate that the person who actually was at the back of that transplant was never publicized because he happened to have been black and he came from the trans guy.
Well, we do not know much about that. That is further research.
All right, Chairperson, let us just close it. But okay, that is the true vibe about it.
Okay, no, thank you for the information. Over to you, Mam Kefa.
Thank you very much. I think just a general comment in terms of the department and what our role is. We are responsible or custodians of the city's local tourism mandate. That's the first thing. The second part is that because the approach to local government needs to be developmental, the way we do our business is about empowering citizens. And thirdly, because tourism is private sector driven, we need to ensure that we are able to work with the private sector in terms of delivering on our mandate. Now, in terms of the preparation for today and where we focused, I think we departed from a point that said there's been a visit, you've had a particular experience, there were various issues that were raised, and therefore, how do we create a full picture in terms of that experience so that it contextualizes what you saw or what people said. And so, yes, the presentation wasn't intended to say, this is how we market Cape Town, this is, you know, what we do as a whole in all the 8 tourism development areas. And so the using the Cape Flats and the Metro Southeast as a focal point was to be able to zoom into the issues of interest or the issues raised. When we started out as a department, the department is very small. The department is very small. We're sitting with 5 senior people. That is a director, 2 managers, 2 heads. And we're supplementing our capacity with interns and students. And because they are interns and students, we are limited to the extent that, you know, we can deploy them more widely because they're on 1-year contracts, as it were. The biggest challenge is resources, particularly human resources in terms of hot bodies. Being a very small and a new department, the department is very new, as a standalone department, the department itself was formed in 2005. 10 years ago, when I walked in, I was the only tourism person in the department. And the way municipalities used to do their business in terms of tourism, they outsourced the visitor services and the destination marketing function to an agency. In our instance, it was Cape Town Tourism and the many other bureaus that were associated to the seven or six other municipalities that were in the metropole precinct. So you had Blauberg Tourism, Tigerberg Tourism, etc., etc., etc. And so when the Unicity happened and amalgamated those seven municipalities into a Unicity, most of the functions in the city, such as transport, planning, environment, you name them, was amalgamation of seven entities from all these areas. And not all those municipalities treated tourism the same way. It was only where within the Cape Metropolitan Council where the tourism function and the people that were employed were city employees, was employed by the council. It was in CMC and in Tigerberg. In all the other municipalities, nobody was employed by the municipality for tourism. The tourism people were employed by those agencies, by South Peninsula Tourism, Blauberg Tourism, Oostenburg Tourism, Helderberg Tourism. So with amalgamation, I didn't have anybody that I could draw together and say, these are the people that come from all these municipalities and they make up the tourism department. So that's the first point. The second point is that at the time in 1999, there was no council approved mechanism or instrument that determined how the municipality was going to drive tourism in this area. Yes, there was a tourism master plan, but it hadn't gone through council as an approved mechanism that you can actually use to deliver the other services. And so we started out by developing the tourism development framework that I said got then adopted in 2004. And that enabled us to be able to leverage and work and deliver our colleagues. To use a simple example, those who know Cape Town, in the past, there was a joke that all roads in Cape Town lead to Musenberg. And what we argued with the Department of Transport, we need to be starting to sign our city in such a way that when visitors go to a map, what is on the map, they see on the roads. That was number one. The second part was how do we use the directional signs to be able to show people, you know, that this road is taking you in a particular direction, that it doesn't only just say M3, but it needs to be saying, what will you find along M3? And the response was, we don't have money for that. So we had to adopt a strategy where we actually said, how do we incentivize people or departments whose line function is not to focus on tourism, it's either to build a road or to put up a sign, and how do we incentivize them? And so I had to start providing for a capital budget that will then address those kind of things and literally incentivize and say, okay, fine, I'll put money on the budget so that in your directional sign that says into Cape Town, that there's a brown sign in it that will say Cape Town International Convention Center, that will say Kirstenbosch, Table Mountain. And that's how we started this relationship with the various departments. So I always say, if I have to put my job into three bullet points, then my job would be, number one, to ensure that when visitors arrive here, this place works, this destination works, that there's an airport, that there's roads, that there's signage, that the place is safe, all those things. And none of these things I'm mentioning are my line of responsibility. I don't build roads. I don't do signs. I don't police. But they impact on tourism. So that is the one. The other part is when they're here, there must be things for them to do. There needs to be products. There needs to be place to stay, etc. And all these things is somebody's business, is their private business. They've invested money. So how do I ensure that these people are able to live up to the promise that the marketing people have sold the destination as? And thirdly, we need to ensure that tourism does what this government has promised, that it creates opportunities, it creates jobs. And so part of it is also about saying, you don't only benefit from tourism because you've got a business. You don't only benefit from tourism because you physically see tourism feet walking in your street. And the question I always ask communities, who works in the waterfront? Everybody who works in the waterfront does not live in the waterfront. Not everybody works there. Lots of them, they stay in Khayelitsha, Mitchell's Plain, Athlone, you name it. And those people and their immediate families and extended families are benefiting from tourism because they've got jobs in tourism. The big challenge about that is the issue around seasonality. And what we need to be doing in terms of making jobs sustainable so that people don't only work for 9 months of the year or 3 months of the year because in the low period people are laid off because the restaurants are not full or the hotels are not full. We need to ensure that this destination is an all-year-round destination. And part of that is about, one, being able to develop the product that is going to work when it's winter. And we must sell, and we must look at those things that are not weather dependent and that you don't have to be outside and that don't need the beach and the sun. And hence the huge focus in this country and in other destinations around business tourism, where people are traveling for business purposes, for conferences, conventions, incentives, and all those things. So they're not here because they want to lie on the beach. They're here to a meeting, and voila, it's also a beautiful place, and I'll come back here with my family. In terms of the figures, I think that part of that question can be answered from the stats nationally that has recently been released by the minister in terms of how South Africa has performed and the trends post 2010. What I can highlight, however, is that what we've seen immediately emerging now in terms of the trends, just from the top of my head, is there seems to be a huge interest that has been stimulated by the World Cup from America. Now, our traditional source markets have predominantly been the UK, Germany, France, and we've seen since the World Cup an interest from America, and we're attributing that to the World Cup. The question around how we're performing against the rest of the country is that the area that concerns me in terms of our performance in relation to the rest of the country is the area of domestic tourism. We are now being outstripped by three provinces. For some time, we were only getting about 12% of the market share in terms of domestic tourism. We're now being outstripped even by the Eastern Cape. And that is an area of concern for me because domestic tourism is the mainstay of any tourism destination. If you can't get your own people to travel, we're a long-haul destination. The world more and more is becoming conscious of the environment, carbon emissions, and so our mainstay needs to be domestic tourism. So we need to be getting and becoming part of the national program in terms of the short-lived programs and other initiatives to get South Africans to travel and visit Cape Town and become a preferred destination. So we're being outstripped and lagging in that area. In terms of the Diwami incident, a very sad incident, what we try firstly to make clear is that issues around safety and responsibility are the responsibility of the police. What we as tourism do is that we can't blink and say it's not our responsibility because it impacts on tourism. So what we do, because part of our job is to ensure that when a visitor is here, they have a great time. So in the sad event that something does happen to a visitor or anybody for that matter in the tourism industry or associated in various establishments and they are in distress of any time, any manner, is to ensure that we are there to provide support. We are there to ensure that we are able to take them through this experience in such a way that at the end of it, they need to leave here saying, if this had happened to me at home, if this had happened to me anywhere in the world, they couldn't have handled it better. And we are happy with the service we got and how we treated them. They lost their passport, lost their badge, etc. We've also put together a visitor safety program and partnership with various stakeholders. And depending on the nature of the incident, there's a whole protocol in terms of, you know, who disseminates information, who deals with that, who becomes the lead agent, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that protocol is in place. And to support that, as part of that initiative, we work with industry via the various associations, all the industry associations, your SEDHASAs, your SATSAs, your Cape Town Tourism, and all those associations, where the tourism industry and business owners are members in various information sessions, networking, awareness, and sharing of information in terms of what they should be doing in the event of an incident happening. We also, as part of that safety forum, we have SAPs represented, where they come to us and they will then tell us what are the issues. For example, you'd maybe, for example, do presentations around, you know, fraud in the financial services sector, how people's credit cards get used and scammed and, you know, all those kinds of things. And the facts where these things normally happen, and sometimes they happen in hotels where people who are employed there, some of them are part of these international syndicates, and how people's credit cards then, even if they haven't left their rooms or used the card, and somebody gets home and finds out that the card was used in another country that they've never been to before. So those kinds of awareness does happen. So in a similar way, with the Diwali incident, we met with the tour operators and guides that that sell township to us, and we didn't have that meeting in town. We had that meeting at Mzwadi's, and we met with the industry. And part of safety, the previous life I was involved in safety and security, and part of it for me is that safety is a community responsibility, partly. And therefore, we cannot ensure safe communities without the participation and the involvement of those communities. And that is key to that. And so, working in that vicinity with, for example, the street communities, the community policing forums, to come up with a system that creates that safety when there are visitors in the area that will then in turn benefit locals as well to make those precincts safe. So we're looking at that. And then lastly, so that Sisa can also speak to some of the issues that were raised during the visit, to just say that the issue around biodiversity and working with other departments within the city has been a major program that we've driven. As I mentioned earlier, we've got a responsible tourism program in 2009 at World Travel Market Cape Town was awarded Best Responsible Tourism Destination in terms of the work and the things that we've put in place. And we've now got to a point where council has actually approved a responsible tourism policy. And that policy means, adoption of that policy means that the city of Cape Town needs to be doing its business differently across the board. And so we're wanting each and every department, directorate, service to be saying, because of this policy, the mayor signed a charter with industry to be responsible. How are we doing our work responsible? The director responsible for building plans and management. When is she going to get to a point where we're no longer going to approve buildings that are not green buildings? How are we dealing with the issues that affect this destination? Climate change, water, the diminishing landfall sites. And how do we link all this in terms of tourism and the diversity that faces us? So the issue around, the butterflies and the fynbos, and if you go along that coastline where the poorest communities of this city are along the False Bay coast, there's a landfall site there that is fast becoming known for birding, because the species of birds that are along that, in that landfall site, that habitat there. So for us, the challenge is how do we, in a sense, respond to what the community is saying when they're saying, along the Atlantic seaboard, you've developed infrastructure and a sea resort, whatever, a commercial environment for tourism to flourish. Why is it when it comes to our coastline, nothing gets done there, and we get told about biodiversity? Why is it that the poor must be more environmentally responsible than the rich? And so our response to that was, you cannot develop any area without understanding what it lends itself to. So what we did, particularly responding to the calls from Mitchell's Plain, where they were beginning to see commercial developments from Sunrise Circle, where you're seeing those multi-story developments and town developments that are beginning to happen along that coastline, to begin to say a study that looks at coastal tourism and what that area lends itself to so that we can develop product. Now, that is complete. Quick wins have been identified in terms of what it lends itself to. How do we use Transfontein Pavilion? How do we use a Wolf Hut Nature Reserve? How do we address the challenges that we face with lookout aerials, the vandalism, the restoration of those dunes? How do we link that with where the feet are already going so that people no longer just go, for example, to Khayelitsha for a township tour and go and spend their money at the waterfront or at Spear, but they need to spend the money in those areas and live. And so to make those linkages and to be able to package that in a way that tour operators can package. I think let me take a breather there. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, Director. And Chair, I think I will try just to touch on the issues that were raised during the visit, because I think the Director has catched the picture of how our doing our business, how do we then convert these opportunities into tangible projects within the limited resources, whether it's human resources or financial resources that we're having, as she has already indicated in her response. And I hope I'll be covering all the issues that people have raised. And the issues that I have really heard as raised in this session today, Chair, many of them, I must say, for me, primary to all of those things is the Director took a decision a year ago that we need to have somebody right there within the community, with the people, so that we don't have to wait for somebody to come all the way from Khayelitsha, take a train, come to town, ask around where the tourism department's offices, and get there and be told that I'm in a meeting. So the decision was then that we need to have visibility. And the reason why I'm raising this upfront above all these other issues that the people have raised is that as officials, we are right there on the ground. And that's the reason why I am based in Khayelitsha. I could have chosen, and the director could have chosen to put me in a posh office, as has been referred here, but the director has seen it fit that we need to have people right there. And the reason for that was also supported by the fact that the community of Mitchell's Plain and Khayelitsha together is close to the third of the community of the city of Cape Town. Those two communities together probably are ranged close to that. So if you would love to have that community, given the attention that it so deserves when it comes to tourism development, you need to have an official right there on the ground. And that is the reason why I'm there. And so many of the issues that has been raised, I so wish to say that many of those that were there, in as much as they were angry, many of them know me on a personal basis. And many of them, I know their businesses and I have been in there in response to what has also been asked as to what is our visitation, how many times do we interact with these products. I think the director has been wise enough by putting us there so that we who are dealing directly with these products can have first-hand information of what is happening there. And that is the reason why then when we are listening to what the concerns are that the people are raising, I accept those, and I also ask myself the question. I meet with you on a daily basis, but I'm meeting you regularly, not only in the confines of a meeting, but outside. And we engage in various levels. And you know my number, my cell phone number, my email address. And we welcome those, but I think also the context will be understood that when people raise these issues and items, people also see an opportunity where the items can be raised at another level, where the attention can be given to them by a different ear, and that people can also respond to those. So I'm glad that that has happened, because that for me was also saying that people really want to put their issues forward. And I welcome also the enthusiasm that it came across, which for me then says that we should be glad that we're having those type of products out there, not people who are sitting and saying that, okay, we're going to fold our arms and we're going to wait until somebody comes and rescues us from this situation. And which, unfortunately, in some of the products, if you were to look at them, many of those products have been in business for over 3 to 4 or 5 years. And many of them have gained from the various interactions and engagements we've had with them. And not only ourselves of the city, our partners as well. Tourism Enterprise Program, which is TAP, CTRU, Red Door, Business Place, and so forth. So our engagement with them is not directly with us as the city, only with our programs, but it is also with the various partners that we're working with. Understanding what the director has said earlier on, Chair, is that we knew right from the beginning that we would not be able to deliver these things all by ourselves. So by the fact that we have brought in our partners in delivering our projects, we were ensuring that whatever project we're putting forward presents that holistic response to whatever has been requested. So that a person, when we are launching a project like we're going to be doing now, the one of the Khayelitsha Express train, when we are launching it, we are doing it in conjunction with Cape Town Tourism, Cape Town Routes Unlimited, and Metro Rail. So on there, we already have all the partners that we need. The role of the one is to do the destination marketing, which is Cape Town Tourism, which is the agency that we have given that responsibility to do. Our role is to do the developmental work. We have gone out, we have had our sessions and our engagements with them. When we are done with all of those, we are saying to Metro Rail, who is a custodian or who holds the physical asset, which is the train itself, that how do you then assist us in delivering this project? Metro Rail has come on board even in doing so. So what we're trying to say, Chair, is that in all our interventions and engagements, as we are right there on the ground, is to ensure that we come and present everybody that we think can assist us in putting this program forward. Simply because if we don't have the resources, if we don't have the capacity to deliver on this, it doesn't absolve us of the responsibility to execute our duties. So we are saying, because we will need all our partners, we definitely need to continue in doing so, especially when we are working with these communities. And I also want to speak on the issue that has been raised on the lack of assistance within the Cape Flats. As I have highlighted all of those projects, I'm sure I wish to also ask for the appreciation of the fact that the majority of those projects are really within the Cape Flats. And indeed, we did not touch on all the other areas, so which we can, if time allows, and that has been requested for us to do. But we focus on only on the projects that we are dealing with, Kaili, Chalanga, and Kugulethu, and all of these areas that we have been visited to. And unfortunately, none of those members of PRODA that were there were able to dispute and say that the city is not doing what it's supposed to do. But people were raising issues and concerns about the various interventions that were required for them to take them from this level to the other. Now, that is something that is required in all business, because business requires that you move from one step to the other. However, the expectation should never be that that is a responsibility of government, even province or local or national. It's the business also must also play their part to ensure that they also take themselves to the next level. And it does require time, energy, and resources. And so we are saying in our intervention, there is a return expectation that businesses, they must also put in enough effort to take themselves to the next level. And we are not saying that we're going to sit back and say that there's nothing we're going to do for as long as they are doing their part. But there were quite interesting things, Chair, that were raised here that I think I need to touch on, which unfortunately not necessarily were part of the tour themselves, for which some of them were raised by yourself, Chair, and for which I smiled when you were raising them, the issue of food tourism, because that is something that is very interesting. The local cuisines that we are tasting at our homes, we take them for granted. If I sit at home and I have mngusho, or I sit at home and I have mvubo, or I'm eating snook or whatever that is, it's something I'm used, I can buy down the street. But for a tourist and a visitor, that is exactly why they would love to walk away with that experience of saying, I came to Cape Town, I went into a restaurant in Khayelitsha, and I had, I don't know what it's called, it's a click word, something, something. Because that is part of the full experience. See, that now you have tasted something that otherwise you wouldn't have tasted in your home. That somebody will walk away and say that I was given a sheep head and this thing was smiling at me. That is the experience. And what we are saying is that we don't want to artificialize these things. We would love these experiences to find themselves in the areas where they are. In other words, we don't want to create now a stall somewhere where the people are going to cook mingusho and all of these things. But you want the tourists and the visitors, in fact, I wish to state it here, that tourists and visitors prefer not to go to where the experience has been set up. They rather want to go where everybody is going. In other words, they will rather go to Khayelitsha, to a shopping center in Khayelitsha and see and feel it for themselves, what is happening there on the ground, then for you now to take that experience, create an environment somewhere in Musenberg and bring in, ship in some people and set that up. Because everybody will see that this is not really the real thing. So we will rather encourage that all of these mingusho, these smileys, be where they are, so that as the tourists and the visitors come, they can experience it. However, when you're speaking to the quality of the product, we are saying that when people then start to bring tourists there, we will need to ensure that the health and safety are taken care of. We will need to ensure that all the quality that is there. We cannot prescribe to somebody selling scab corp that, you know, chief, you need to make sure that This is ISO 901 standards. But we need to make sure that the food that the person is going to eat, the person is going to walk away there and have a stomach cramp. So those are the things that we need to basically putting out there. Now, from my side, as product development, our advancement is to say that the experience should be unique. The experience should find itself within the community. And hence, we are encouraging people to do it where they are. Speaking to the issue earlier on raised by Honorable Member exactly about the issue of informal settlements, in as much as that is something undesirable, we have a dichotomy here. Tourists and visitors go actually and visit these areas. Not because, as also been highlighted in the tour, that this is a poverty trip. But people want to understand, how do you get it right? Staying in a shack for 2, 3, 4 years, when you walk into the shack, there's an LCD screen. Parked in front of the shack is a Mercedes-Benz. That is a bit of a dichotomy for somebody knowing what poor people are supposed to be. But here we are, right in front of a house built by tin structures and so forth, little ventilation, no lighting, no water, no toilet, but there's a life there. And that's the story that they want to hear. Now, they don't want to hear me telling them that story. I can tell them the story. Bring them in a boardroom like this and tell them. But they want to go in there, see for themselves, and in fact maybe even taste some of that water that comes from that jar that's sitting there. And maybe have a taste of the meat that is sitting there. So that when they walk out of there, they can see that this was authentic, and they now can walk away and tell their kids, you know, in Africa, as poor as you understand it to be, there are people. And those people have dreams, because that mother told me she is sending her son to school, her son is in university, and he's doing medicine. And how does she get it right? That same mother is telling me that she's actually the only person left. The father has died, but she's the only person. So those are the stories that people want. Hence, we have this dichotomy. Now the question is, do we allow tourists to go into those areas? Because ourselves, and I wish to state it, ourselves, we say that, I won't go a Joe Slow. I, as Sisa say, I won't go a Joe Slow. Guess what? When I'm standing as a porter behind a desk in a hotel, what do I say? Somebody comes to me and says, I would love to go to, what's that place name again? Langa? Remember, you are staying in Langa, but you're staying in the suburb area in Langa. And the shacks are behind you. They broke into your house last week. What do you give a response? I don't think it's advisable. You are saying that. You are perpetuating that. And that's what we need to turn around. Because if we are the ones that are telling the tourists and the visitors that they cannot go to these areas, somebody else who also does not stay in that area will not have the confidence to tell somebody else to go there. And we, I think, need to be the first to turn that around. Who stay in those areas? When we embarked upon the Langa walking tour, the reason why we chose to make it a walking tour is simple. We wanted tourists, when they come to Langa, they must get out of the bus. Because immediately when you take a tour and people are sitting in the bus, it perpetuates what we are having a problem with, is people taking photos of us through their buses. So now we become elephants and fofras. Whereas if you're taking them out on a walking tour, now they start now to rely on their host. They are dependent. They are, we hope that you're taking us to the right places and we are safe. So now you also now start to rely on your community. I hope that my people will understand that here I am a tour guide. I'm employed or I'm a freelancer. I'm earning a living. And if my community does not support what I'm doing, I'm going to lose a job. No tourists is going to come. No B&B is going to be filled. No tour operator is going to come today. So it has that rippling effect. So if we are able to give the confidence to ourselves first, then we will be able to continue to have projects similar to this. And I wish to say, Chair, that at the end of the day, the issue of the cuisines that we're talking about can only happen if we allow them to flourish within our areas. The fact that you have mentioned that the cuisines, the snook and the fish that's in Hout Bay, if you had to take that and put it in Kailash, it's not going to work. But let it happen where it suits. We in Kailisha must take a rumouge. Let's make our puppet place so that people can also see that there's diversity. We're not all homogeneous. So I really am glad that that is. In fact, Chair, I think maybe we should commission a study on that, but maybe not immediately, but maybe later on when we have done our groundwork to see as to really what is the potential of that. But I really like that because that is also linked to something else, which is music. Food, music, wine, all of those things go together. And in tourism, we believe that in tourism, you must eat, you will sleep, and you will experience. So if we are able to have those three together, from my side where I sit as pro-development, it makes my life easier. If people can be able to understand that all tourists must sleep, even if they sleep here, they must eat, even if they eat here, or they must experience, even if they must experience all this year. Unfortunately, Chair, we have limited time, but to talk on the issues of the music, I'm sure you know, Chair, there's a huge event that's coming up. That definitely supports the issue of music in terms of tourism. But it is an event that is very, very important in the diary of Cape Town, in the calendar of Cape Town. And as a tourism department, we certainly support that. And it's not only supported by the city, but also by province, and also all other stakeholders. And the director has spoken about many of these things, including the alignment to province and to national, which really is a legislative imperative. But lastly, I also wish to say that in all the research that we have undertaken, our intention is not to accumulate volumes of knowledge and put it somewhere. Every research that we undertake or any information that we wish to gather, the intention is to convert that into practical, tangible action plans. From those action plans, see if we cannot, those that we think are ones that we can fund and support and implement, we do so. And certainly, with the leadership of our director, we have been able to certainly convert many of those studies that we have been commissioning into tangible and practical on-the-ground action plans and programs. And on that, I wish to say, Chair, I wish to thank you very much for the chance.
No, thanks.
Yes, he has just forgotten to tell us more about the jazz festival that is always staged in Cape Town. They come from all walks of life to come and witness that wonderful jazz festival. Thank you, Chair.
No, it's well, it's always wonderful, but it's got international sounds as well.
I'll give that to my director.
Thank you very much. I just want to just sweep up in terms of some of the things that we haven't addressed very briefly. The issue around poverty and what the impact is in terms of tourism, I think that is something that doesn't only impact on tourism, but also impacts on the reputation of the country. We are noted for being a country with the highest Gini coefficient, the disparity between rich and poor or incomes. But just to mention that the way it impacts on tourism is we hear it with or from comments that we get from visitors. For them, it is just so stark. The proximity of poverty to the opulence and the wealth. We from time to time accommodate interns from abroad, from Germany, from the Netherlands, and when they left, it's one of the things that they mentioned, that part of it is the issue that Mem raised around, you know, that everything is so close, Cape Town, everything. So even the poverty and the wealth is cheek by jowl. It's not like, you know, Gauteng, everything is far-flung and, you know, everything is here. And I suppose the issue is about how do we ensure everything we do is about creating an equitable society and addressing, but also in terms of enforcement and raising the awareness that democracy doesn't mean anything goes. And so, you know, the issue about how we, in our own areas, retain and also assume responsibility for our own environments so that we monitor ourselves and so that your neighbor, when they're doing something, it's not my business, and if the council doesn't do anything about it, it's fine. And it doesn't happen in other areas, but in our areas we don't assume responsibility as communities, but yes, they do come in. And so one of the changes we began seeing is that and I'm sure it's from a tourism intervention, that as flights flying to Cape Town, the first visual of Cape Town used to be the informal settlements as the aircraft descends to land on the tarmac. If you look out of your window now, especially during the day, if you're flying in during the day, the route has changed. So the plane actually turns around and approaches Cape Town from the seaside, so that the first sight you see is not the informal settlements, but you see the beauty first, and then the reality on the ground. But also in the department, in the directory, we take our mandate very seriously from an economic and human development point of view. So we've become part of the work streams that are beginning to engage with the issues around, you know, poverty and how we address that. And a key part of that, in fact, the lead has now been placed with housing. And at one point I was challenging that. Why is the lead being, you know, are we masking the issue of how do we deal with informal settlements by putting this under this big label called poverty, and why we're addressing that, you know, in that way. But it's more a holistic approach that, you know, these are the things and the way it manifests itself in terms of people's aspirations, in terms of the basic, you know, rights. And then in terms of the alignment, you raised the issue around alignment, Chairperson. I think for me the gap, and I've raised it at some of the ministers' roadshows, for me the gap is the link to metros. The closest we get to national is via provinces. And for me that is such a long route that sometimes these things never get to us unless somebody knows you, you know, and things get communicated to you or come via a provincial process, and there's all that. Now, urban cities, urban centers are the heart of tourism. And in most instances, when it comes to tourism, that's where the resources actually are. So for me, there needs to be some way or a platform where at a national level, the metros are able to leverage and engage, et cetera, et cetera. And currently it's not happening, with the result that the metros, with whatever resources they have, and I'm not suggesting that they have insurmountable amounts of money, you know, a large chunk of that money actually goes to destination marketing. Currently, I mean, in my budget this year for destination marketing and visitor services, it's 40 million. What percentage? Now, that's a huge chunk of my budget, but it's a very, very small percentage in terms of what the municipality gets or provides for just for economic development as a whole, if you look at the numbers from that perspective. And so for me, it's how do we leverage those resources so that we are able to be at the same level or compete with the destinations that we benchmark ourselves with. Destinations that are similar to us, that are long-haul destinations, spend 7 times, 12 times as much than we do, you know, as South Africa, and the resources are not there. So for me, that would be the big gap in terms of how national. Where is a platform created? Everybody else meets at Mintec and Peptec and wherever tech. But the metros, nobody, a platform is not created for them, for them to engage. And then in closing, I think that I would love an opportunity where behind tourism, there's a big rally around being responsible. And the reason I like this word responsible, because it's so all-embracing. It's not only about what does government provide, it's not only about what are you doing, but it is about each and everyone in that value chain, the visitor, the citizens, industry, government, what are they doing in terms of ensuring that this destination, this country is kept intact for our children and our grandchildren and their grandchildren into the future. And so, thankfully, the National Department now has picked up on our lead in terms of beginning to have a portfolio that looks at responsible tourism. And the responsible tourism is great because it speaks to all these objectives we want. We want economic growth and impact to benefit local communities. That's what responsible tourism about. It's also about impact on the environment. It's also about impact on local communities. That those are the three legs. So we are able, through our responsible tourism program, we put into place a program that actually said to tourism businesses, if you practice responsible tourism, it helps you with your BEE scorecard. Because all these pillars, we identified 7 pillars that they need to be looking at. The issue around water, issue around energy, skills development, enterprise development, social responsibility, and waste. And all these things are things that they can tick off in terms of contributing towards the BEE scorecard. And I'm glad National has done, is now following suit with, to the extent that at Indaba this year, they've given us an entire pavilion and says, fine, we accept you the lead in this area. Get other cities and destinations on board so that we can exhibit here nationally as a responsible destination. So I'm hoping that we will see some of the members visiting that pavilion. We'll also be having at Indaba an e-conference on responsible tourism, basically meaning that at Indaba we will have people participating, but it will be online and live and engaging internationally so that people would then be posing questions from all over the world via the net. And hopefully that will then begin to generate greater awareness of what we are trying to achieve. But it's baby steps. We are in the starting blocks. There's a lot we have to do. I feel very much like Obama. We got this award just after we had adopted our responsible tourism policy. So it wasn't about what we had done. It's more about what we've put in place. And now the world is watching the small Nyana municipality in Africa. What did they do to get this award? And so people are watching us to say, what are you going to do? And it's not easy, but what helps us is the economy and climate change and the environment, because big business is now making those choices, not because of responsible tourism, but because of their bottom line. They need to save energy because of the costs that are going up. Water is threatened. They need to save water. So they're putting in all these mechanisms that are responsible in terms of conservation and being responsible. And thank you very much for the interest you take in our work. We'd like to see greater support. We'd really welcome it, because after all, a parliament has a Cape Town address. This is a Cape Town address, and so we are hosting you. I'm hoping that you will begin to see more and more engagement, and through your involvement, to just ensure that this new department, this national department, grows and gets the resources that it's required to deliver this monumental task. Thank you very much to your chairperson and to the committee. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your presentation. I think it definitely will enrich our approach even when we interact further as well. But what comes up, and this comes up always, that you need to have dialogue in South Africa amongst all people all the time for South Africa to move. Whether it's tourism or whatever you are doing. And a lot of hindrances, even in transformation, if you look at it, it's mainly perceptions, because we don't talk, and we do not engage enough at different levels. It's one thing talking to one business; it's another having organized all these businesses to anyway. When they have now leadership, then you engage them as an experience, because those people, they were talking as an experience, but mixing it with talking about themselves as individual businesses. Now, how do you then lead both at the same time? It becomes very, very difficult. That's the other aspect, I think, and what I like is this saying that we've got to be a responsible destination. Each and every one of us should be responsible, be you a citizen, be you a visitor, be you a tourist, be you a business, and so forth. And the issue of sounds, there are many sounds in South Africa, but there are sounds that are typical of South Africa, of Cape Town. I don't know how many of you sometimes tune to this DSTV, I think it's CakeNet. There is music that is there by different bands, sometimes of farm workers and farmers and so forth. It's mainly Afrikaans. But it's a sound, it's a unique sound. But we do not experience it anywhere in Cape Town except, I've not experienced it anywhere in Cape Town except there. You get the music of Ibrahim as well. You see, you go to malls, you do not get that sound, but it is a Cape Town sound. You go to bazaars, still there is a very, very nice bazaar here in Cape Town. I think it's Islamic in nature, Oriental Bazaar. There's no vibe except the good food, but there is no addition to that. But if you go to another country, you find that there would be local sounds playing as well. So it's all these things that create an experience using the five senses. Is it still the five senses with electronics? I don't know. But the five senses. But it's all about experiences, memories, and dreams. We know that that Diwani family is having nightmares, but a lot of families and a lot, and statistically, that one is zero. Although it is very difficult for the family and to bear with the family. But statistically, really, we performed very well last year. And it's a challenge now to maintain that level, because it is already an expectation, and expectations are very difficult to manage. But thank you very much for the presentation, and please assist us in developing good experiences, memories, and dreams of South Africa to all. Thank you. Then we end this presentation, and there are no announcements so far. Next week we shall be having, what are we having next week, Jerry? SAT, South African Tourism.
Chair, I think the only thing we can inform members about, we are busy compiling the report of the tourism summit that we have on Monday and Tuesday. We also waiting for the sound and vision to finish that DVD that they are busy cutting for the committee. And then next week the committee will be meeting with the Department of Tourism plus the SA Tourism for a pre-briefing session on their budget and the strategic plan. Thank you, Chair. That meeting will be in the committee room E249. I was told yesterday that the minister will be, minister and deputy minister will also be attending, but I'm still waiting for formal confirmation of that. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. That is the end of the session.